Thank you, Sean. Well, we're back in Clonbur and we're in Chi Verca, Burke's Bar and Restaurant, and we're looking at sport in the area. Delighted to say I have in the bar with us Stephen Joyce of the Galway GAA and Clonbur GAA fame, and also Kate Dillon, who's a very successful golfer with links to the area. You're both very welcome onto the programme today. I need to do what I'm told now because she's a big bag of clubs with her. So we're going to Stephen Joyce first. Stephen, good morning.
Morning, John.
Good to have you with us. Talk to us about your footballing days with Clonbur and Galway. But we'll start with Clonbur first because club makes county. You had great times back in the 80s.
We had, yeah, I suppose. I grew up in the 70s, I suppose, and my first football would have been early 70s. At the time, under 16, I think, was the first age group within the club that I would have played when I was possibly 14. And then I think when I was 15, I probably played adult football, which at the time was junior. There was just junior and senior. So it was enjoyable. We had a good bunch of players come up in the early 70s. And we won the junior in, I think it was 77, that brought us on to senior football, where we had some very good, I suppose, and reasonably successful years at senior level. I suppose culminating in 83 when we reached the county senior final. And if there was ever you lose a game because of a half of a ball, it happened to us on that occasion, where there was a free given against our cornerback when he supposedly picked the ball off the ground, but it hopped at least a foot off it, which the referee admitted afterwards, and our opponents, Dunmore, got a goal from it and won the game by 2 points. So it was unfortunate. We never got back there, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, it's tough. But I know you had great time playing in the schools as well, and you had great success with a Mayo team.
I had indeed. I went to vocational school in Ballinrobe. I did the Leaving Cert there actually in 75. So the vocational school for county football was big at the time. So I was part of the team in 75, which we went on to win the All-Ireland. We actually defeated Kerry in the semi-final, which the great Tommy Doyle, who went on to win a record number. I remember playing against him at midfield that day. I know my size mightn't contribute to that, but it was enjoyable. We won the All-Ireland in 75 and actually beat Galway in a Connacht final, which is, I suppose, the downside of it, but it had to be done.
Had to be done on the day to play for your team, but you had a great career at Galway as well. 5 Connacht titles, I make it.
Yeah, I suppose I came on the Galway scene, I think, in 77, and I played up until 87. Yeah, we did win 5 Connacht championships, and I suppose that meant we were in 5 All-Ireland semi-finals. But at the time, it was Connacht, the provincial winners, straight into the All-Ireland semi-final. Mm. But unfortunately, we only won one of those 5, which was in 83. The year we were in the county final as well, we got to the All-Ireland senior final, played Dublin, and that, I suppose, that's the famous All-Ireland where the Dirty Dozen got the best of us, but we still, to this day, I suppose, it's been talked about. But again, we were unfortunate. I suppose at the time I was reasonably young, not too long on the scene, and thought we'd be back. You'll always come back, but unfortunately I didn't get the opportunity to get back and play in another All-Ireland final for Galway.
Yeah, and I know you stuck with it in terms of management. You were a selector on the great Galway team of the late 90s, early noughties.
Yeah, John O'Mahony was appointed manager in 97. He asked me to come in as a selector, which I did, and we were successful, I suppose, almost instantly when we went on in 98 to win the All-Ireland, and that was the first time in Galway in 32 years. Definitely a huge occasion and a very, very enjoyable occasion, I must say. And I suppose you'll never forget the actual match itself, the homecoming afterwards. It was unreal. The colour, the fires from all the way from Athlone to Toom, the amount of people was absolutely unbelievable. And it certainly was a very, very, very special occasion. Mm. And we were in the final again 2 years later in 2000. Unfortunately, Kerry got the better of us after a replay, and then we came back in 2001. That was the first year of the backdoor system, beaten in Connacht by Roscommon, but started off on a tour around the country, beginning in Aughrim against Wicklow and terminating in an All-Ireland final against Meath. And Meath went into that game as hot favourites, having defeated Kerry convincingly in the semi-final, but as you know, we went on to win that game reasonably comfortably, with our present-day manager, Pádraig Joyce, having a man of the match display in the second half.
Yeah.
Kicking score. So that was in itself, that was probably different to 98 in that with 10 minutes to go, you know, we've this game won. And you could, well, the last 10 minutes was unbelievable, knowing, well, we've done this again, we've won the All-Ireland. Whilst 98 was special to being the first, you could enjoy the last 10 minutes in 2001, which you didn't in 98.
But it was a remarkable year 01, because I believe you lost to Mayo in a league final, then got knocked out by Roscommon and then went on to win the All-Ireland. It was a roller coaster of a year.
It was. I think that was actually the foot and mouth year. As far as the league was concerned, a lot of teams, the northern teams, were all pulled out because of the foot and mouth disease. Yeah. And it was all, I think it was all Connacht teams that were in the semi-finals, actually. But a lot of our players who had played in 98 hadn't played in the league, so the team that we played against Mayo in the final would have been different to the team that went on in the championship. But yeah, you're right in that Roscommon defeated us in Connacht. But we were, I suppose, fortunate enough to get to a quarter-final and draw Roscommon again. And I think that
Put manners on them.
It was in Castlebar, and I think when that draw came through, we were delighted, obviously, that I knew the lads that no way this was going to happen a second time, and we defeated them comfortably enough in the quarter-final.
And then you continued in managerial sense at the inter-county level, but you went down the age grades and you helped out with the under-21s.
I was involved with the under-21s, I think, for 2 years. Unfortunately, we didn't have any success at that level. I think at the time, as far as I would be concerned anyway, you would have a number of players always on a senior panel from an under-21 panel, and at the time they weren't allowed to train with us, they weren't allowed to play challenge matches, and then when it came to championship, unfortunately, it just didn't work out, and I spent 2 years in it. We didn't have any success, but at a later stage, and I went on to the minor, which was more satisfying. It was 2015. Yeah, the end of 2014, and Galway hadn't won a minor kind of championship since 2007. So the challenge was to try and get that right. Now we did go on to win three in a row, getting to the All Ireland final in 2016. Where we were defeated by a very good Kerry side. Again, we were right in the match, up 2 points down, I think 7 minutes to go, when the famous David Clifford,
yeah,
collected a ball under the Cusick stand and ended up in the top corner of our net, and Kerry beat us by 2 points.
Mm.
So a lot of them players have gone on to play senior for Kerry, including Tony O'Shea, David Clifford, Mike Breen, Dara Minehan, fellas like that. And of course, some of the Galway players have gone on as well. So
yeah,
that was satisfying. The following year, we were defeated by Cavan in the quarter-final, and that was the end of my managerial career. Then at county, at minor level, yeah.
Mm. Take us back to the club, though, because Clonburr managed to go all the way in the 2011-2012 season to the junior final.
Yeah, that's correct. I think I came into management in the club there for the 2010 championship, and we didn't win. I think we were defeated in a Westboard final, where I think I knew that there was potential there, that if we stuck with it and the lads got committed, that we were good enough to do much better than that. So the following year we went on to win the county title at junior, defeating Headford in the final, and then went on a run to win the county championship, and from there we came up against Beliver from Meath in an All-Ireland semi-final, and we won that comfortably to bring us into an All-Ireland final against a team from Derrytresk and Tyrone. They had won the semi-final, the controversial semi-final against Piercina Drumager from Cork, where there was a lot of players suspended, sent off and all that kind of stuff. So I suppose there was a lot of publicity going into the final, but we started very poorly. I think we conceded two penalties early in the game. The first one was scored, and the second one, thankfully, our goalie Parik Welch made a great save, and from that on we started coming back into the game, and early in the second half I think Alan Kine scored a goal, and from there on we kept chipping away, and I think in the last few minutes we got the levelling point. One of our defenders, a neighbour of Kate here beside me, David Wallace, got the equalising score, and Liam Kearney scored the winner. So the rest, I suppose, as I say, is history.
A great day, though, and the homecoming, what was that like?
It was unreal, to be honest, yeah. Probably, we talked about All-Ireland finals and stuff earlier, But you'd have to say that when you go to Croke Park with your club, it's something special. And I mean, all county players will say that when they win with their club, it makes it, it's all that more special to be there with your club and your community and your family as part of the, it's really, really special. And for me, I suppose the fact that I was the manager of the team, ably assisted by Michael Phillip and Patsy Kearney, and my son Owen captained the team, so that made it more special. He got to win an All-Ireland Croke Park, which I didn't.
But you came across the Shannon and all that, as the teams always do, and the bonfires, where did they start from?
They started probably from Cordondola down through Headford, Lincarrow, into Cong, and then back to Clonbore, and the street here where you couldn't see the road, all the people that were here on the night, and it was something special, and I suppose something that I has definitely been involved. I'll probably never see again, but hopefully the lads that are there were down in junior again. So hopefully there's an ambition there that they'll get to that stage again. But it was something special, and no matter where you are with your county, I suppose when it all begins, as we said earlier, it begins in the club. And when you come back and win with your club, and when you go to Croke Park and play with your club and look into the stand and look down on the field and see they are our players, they are our neighbours, it's something special.
Are you going to Markovitch Park?
I am, yes. I was in London 2 weeks ago, so I'll have to go to Markovitch Park.
Are you expecting to be as easy as the London game?
No, I'm not, to be honest, no. Sligo have made great strides under Andy McEntee, Tony McEntee, so they have improved. They defeated Leitrim comprehensively. I would expect Galway to win it. I won't say comfortably, but we should win it. But they will put up a stronger fight. But Galway, after all, we are a Division 1 team. We were in the All-Ireland Final 2 years ago, and you'd be hoping that we can kick on a bit. And I see from the team news that we have a bit of good news for a change.
Back in the battle.
Lynch is back, and Damien Comer is back in the subs. So that's a huge boost going forward.
Final one, what's the connection to Clonbore with John Daly? There's a big cut out of him behind us saying, wishing John and Galway all the best from Chief Urca. Do you know what the connection is?
There's a huge connection. Yeah, John's
Mount Ballymoyla, isn't that his club?
Yeah, John's grandfather would be from Clonbore.
Okay.
It would be Kieran Burke's brother here, Kieran that owned the pub here. His brother would be John's grandfather.
Very good, yeah. I was wondering what the connection was.
I
said, we're not in Mount Bellew today, but anyways,
place here in this house for John.
Brilliant. Stephen, thanks for joining us. I want to turn my attention, though, to Kate Dillon, who joins us. Kate, good morning.
Hiya.
You're avoiding school for the next while in Uachtaráid. Talk to us about golf and how you got into the golfing scene.
Well, I started probably when I was about 6, because my dad and my brothers played, and I just kind of followed my brothers around and did whatever they did, so I got into golf that way. And I probably didn't take it very seriously until I think I got my handicap when I was about 10, and then it was after COVID really when I started getting lessons and taking it more serious and playing outside the club. So,
and what have the highlights been so far?
Probably playing the Junior Vagliano, which is Great Britain and Ireland against Europe, last summer in Royal Dornoch. So that was a huge opportunity, and we tied with Europe, which was the best result ever. So that was class. Like, to have two Irish girls on the team was unreal. So,
and you've played with Ireland at underage levels.
Yeah, I've been playing with them. I think my first time playing was 2022, March time. So I've been playing for a few years now, and yeah, I love the experience you get and the opportunities. So,
And you've had a big moment there in February when you played your first women's game. What was that like?
Yeah, definitely a big step up. Like, women's golf, it's definitely bigger than girls, you know, a lot more experienced players and that. So that was definitely a step up, but I really enjoyed that. We came second in the octagonal in Spain, so that was a really good achievement.
And you've really excelled in golf as well, because I know you've got a huge scholarship to the States.
Yeah, I'm going to Arizona State in 2025, which is one of the top schools, and for golf as well. Like, it's a big school in America anyways, and then the golf team is unreal, so I was really lucky to get that spot for 2025. So.
Absolutely. And in terms of Clonbore and your connections here, you play football locally as well?
Yeah, I played football all my life. Like, I played football before I could play golf. It's a huge part of my family, and I just have always played, and I still do. And I think it's really important to have another sport a team sport like that, aside from golf.
And you might know our next guest, Tara Boyle, as well, from the footballing scene locally.
Yeah, I would have played with her like under 14, under 16, along through the years there. So she's a great footballer.
And finally, what do you want to do in America in terms of studies outside of golf?
I'm thinking at the moment along the lines of architecture. It's like my dad and my brothers are architects, so it's kind of what I'm interested in and what I seem to be not too bad in school, so I think that's what I look into.
And what's the rest of the year like in terms of golf tournaments for you?
It's busy. The tournaments have started now, so it's getting busy, and the summer will be mad busy, like going everywhere, so I'm looking forward to it, and we've had a long winter, so I can't wait to get playing again.
Brilliant. What's the plan for the rest of the day? Back to Tourard, is it?
I'm going down to Carlo to a practice round now, so that'll be me for the weekend as well.
Brilliant. I don't feel so bad taking you out of school, so...
No.
it's brilliant. Best of luck with everything in the future, and do let us know how you get on in the different tournaments throughout the year as well. Kate Dillon and Stephen Joyce, thank you both for joining us on the sports section of Community Matters here in Burke's Bar in Clonbur. To your text lines now very quickly. Hi, John. Loving the show from Clonbur. That cycle from Clonbur to Cong is a hidden gem. Our five-year-old did it last year. Perfectly safe and lovely. I hope it doesn't lead her to think about cycling from Clonbur to Portugal in the future like your other healthy guests. Another listener says, inspirational young man, this is about Johnny Coyne, with you to turn his life around like that. Another listener says, hello to everyone in Burke's Clonbur, from Leah Doyle and Roisin O'Brien, both from Clonbur, who are listening in from Australia this morning. And another caller says to us, good morning from the Whelan family in Moycullen to our cousins and neighbours in Clonbur, flying the flag high locally and internationally, Galway. For Sam, says this listener, and they keep coming. If you want to get your texts and WhatsApps in, do to our number 086 38 33 553. You can phone reception on 091 77 0077 and email comments at goaibayfm.ie. We've live music next. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission Mignon.
You're welcome back to Community Matters from Clonbur in Burke's Bar and Restaurant, Chivurka. And we're looking at live music for the next while. I'm delighted to say across from me is Barney McCabe and his sister Helen. And they're going to play an original composition from Barney. This is Between the Corrib and the Mask.
West winds blow across stone walls, sheep graze the mountain paths, heather blooms at bees above, life breathes in nature's love. Maybe all your rambling days are done, maybe now you've found one. Maybe it's just time to settle down between the carib and the mast. Wrapped in cloaks of snowy mist, the mountain peaks point heaven-bound. Streams of light pour from their sides, golden lances of warm sunlight. Maybe all your rambling days are done, maybe now you found one. Maybe it's just time to settle down between the carib and the mast. Toughened hands from the coarse soil, digging rocks and growing stone. Explorer caves hidden in the gorse, with flowing music a welcoming discourse. Maybe all your rambling days are done, maybe now you've found one. Maybe it's just time to settle down between the carib and the mast.
Windsor cast, boats and western lakes, the fort at Finney, an ancient place. The birdsong thrill of thrush and lark, beauty at the heart of Joyce Country Geopark. Maybe all your rambling days are done, maybe now you've found the one. Maybe it's just time to settle down between the Corrib and the Mass. Maybe all your rambling days are done, maybe now you've found the one. Maybe it's just time to settle down between the Corrib and the Mass.
Well done, well done. That is Barney McCabe and his sister Helen, Between the Corrib and the Mask. And Barney, I know that's from your new album that's coming out very shortly.
Yes, we've been working on the new album for the last year and a half or a bit longer, and it's coming out before the summer. That's fingers crossed, everything getting done. So we have it all recorded. We're in the mixing stage. We've been over in Sun Street Studios in Tuam, mm-hmm. with Ken Ralph there, and we're almost ready to go.
And I'm sorry to say you've been outdone by your sister, because I never saw someone play the violin and sing at the same time.
Yeah, and she can dance when she's doing it too.
Talk to me about your life, though, and the move to Clonburr, Barney, because I know you're from Monaghan originally.
Yes, I'm originally from just outside Carrickmacross in County Monaghan, in a place called Maracloon. And Maracloon was made infamous there a number of years ago, which is where the football pitch and the community centre fell into the gypsum mine. So Monaghan is known as the stony grey soil, but in Maracloon we had red soil because of the gypsum deposits that were there, very rich mineral deposits. So I'm originally from there, but I've left 30 years ago and I've been in Clonburr, or the Cong side of Clonburr, for the last 10 years.
The wrong side of the border.
Well, the house, according to my wife, my good long-suffering wife, who's an avid Mayo supporter, Jenny Mulvey, she swears it's in Mayo, and the garden is in Galway. So I'll have to live with that, you know.
Yeah, like another man said to me before, one side of the house where the toilet is on one side of the border. You can decide which side is yourself. But so you bought the house here locally, and you're living locally, and you're very involved in the music scene here.
We are. So when we moved down here, we had two young kids at the time. We now have three. We had two boys, Fintan, Cormac Fintan, and when we were moved down here, we were joined by Murren. And my wife, Jenny, if she wasn't busy enough, decided that we needed a dog, and she also decided that we should start the Kyotis branch up again in Joyce Country, so all across Joyce Country, and she has an awful crowd of young people playing music now, and it's all her fault. So yeah, I get the credit for an awful lot of the work that she does. So she's a great woman. Jenny, she's a Gaelgor, and she teaches down in Cornimona and Skullwara in Cornimona, and she has the whole place gone mad playing music. Yeah,
fair play to her. Do we have one of your prodigies sitting across from me now?
We do. I can't claim that Tara Boyle is sitting here beside me. I can't claim that we made Tara play or influenced her to play. She comes from a very well-known family that's steeped in Irish music. I'm not sure on the Boyle side, but certainly on the Greer side. And I'll let Tara explain herself who she is.
Yeah, Tara, you're welcome onto the programme today. Talk to us. I know we'll talk about music very shortly, but you're very involved in football.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I play for my club, Clonburr, and my school recently. We won the All-Ireland final a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
And am I right in saying you've been involved in the Galway setup as well? Or was I told porky pies?
I did the Galway development like a few years ago, yeah.
Brilliant. It's great to see young women getting involved in sport and getting to that kind of a level as well. But in terms of music, when did it start for you, the passion, Helen?
When I was about seven, and my mom started teaching me the tin whistle, and then a couple of years later I started the pipes when I was around 10.
The Illan pipes you're going to play for us today, what song are you going playing, Tara?
I'm going to play Slow Air Port Napooki into a jig, Lark in the Morning.
Brilliant, in your own time.
Yeah.
Just before she does that, she is the current All-Ireland champion under 15. And we're very proud of her in the area. She's the first All-Ireland champion associated with the Colta Stuí Yoga.
I must say you're very modest, Tara. Go on, in your own time.
Thank you.
Well done. Well done. That is Tara Boyle. Tara, you're very modest. I said that it's amazing what you can do and the sounds you can make with the Illan pipes. Yeah. Do you love playing it?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I play it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and she's very modest as well, I must say, Barney. You can see the talent there.
She's extremely modest, and she's a wonderful role model for our younger musicians in the area. They're getting great inspiration. I know this year, joining the Galway Fla, there's an awful lot of extra kids going into it this year. I think we have 30 or 40 kids entering the Fla, and I would hazard a guess that Tara's success last year and her leadership in that is certainly influencing an awful lot of people in the area.
Brilliant. We'll continue with it and keep up the good work as well. Tara Boyle and Barney McKay, thank you both for joining us on Community Matters as well. And thanks to your sister Helen as well, who can sing and play the fiddle and dance at the same time, I'm told. And we're back with more stories on Trip Down Memory Lane from Clonbur and Shevorka next.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
Kern Galway BFM and Shrack Community Matters a Lohar Lemwinu O'Commission Mignon.
You're welcome to Community Matters with John Morley. I'm delighted to say across me today in Burke's Bar in Clonbur are Anne Kine and Adrian Birch. And Adrian, I'm going to start with you first because you're one of the Burkes.
I am indeed, my claim to fame.
Talk to us about life growing up here in the pub and what it was like back in the day in Clonbur.
Mum and Dad, my dad was born and reared here, married my mum who's from Leenane, and reared six children here over the shop, as they say. Mm-hmm. I was the oldest of six. Unfortunately, we lost two of my brothers, Owen, in 2017 suddenly, and then Colm in 2019, and Dad then in August 2019. The community at that time were just, they just carried us. The village opened up all the premises so people could use the toilets. We brought out refreshments, served refreshments in the schoolyard. And that is just, it's just invaluable what they did for us. Growing up in Clonbur was no place like it. I had a cousin that once said that she feels sorry for people that didn't get to grow up in Clonbur because it was just that kind of a place. Mm. Every house in the village had loads of kids in it, so we literally spent our time out playing football on the street and running up and down and what have you. Even the dogs in Clonbur have a surname, so we had Trixie Kine and we had Benny Lynch and we had Bruno Burke and we had Twink Burke and Terry Kine. So everybody knew whose and whose dog was whose. Trixie and Benny were the mammy and daddy of half the dogs in the village. Mm-hmm. Great fun. We sled on the hill up there, Kine's field. Wow. Had a lovely hill, and we got snow. We got fertilizer bags, and Kine used to be the first one up the hill in the bag, sledding down.
Well, she didn't tell me that.
She didn't tell you that,
no,
I bet you.
No,
yeah,
no.
Which she was.
But you had to go away to find a man.
I did. I had to travel 3,000 miles to meet an Irishman.
Where'd you meet him?
In the Bronx in New York. Yeah, we're home 30 years now. So.
And you didn't have to kick and scream to bring him
definitely
home?
Definitely not. No, I think once he saw Clonbur, he loved it, and there's no question about it. It'd be Clonbur we'd move to.
But you can really get that sense of people being drawn back to the area. I know two of your children have actually moved away, one very recently, but you still have Roisin with you. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, Emer moved to Perth in February, and we miss her terribly. It's very far away. Mm. And Sean just moved on Tuesday to London.
Wow.
So please God, he'll settle and have a good time, but miss him terribly as well.
Mighty. We also have Anne Kine with us. Anne, good morning.
Good morning.
Talk to me, first of all, about this whole snowing and getting the fertiliser bags and going down the hill.
I had forgotten about it, actually.
Yeah. Oh, had you?
The child never left me, you see.
That's very good.
Never left me.
That's very convenient.
We were talking about skiing, we decided we'd fill bags of hay. My youngest son was about 9, I say, at the time, and he wouldn't go back without me. He's out in Canada now, so I led the way. I went back to the hill, and we all had bags of...
And you're...
We all skied, came sliding down.
You're here over 60 years, but you're adamant you're blowing.
Well, Adrian calls us windfalls now. She doesn't call us blowins.
I hate that expression, blowing. They're all windfalls.
Unfortunately,
we're the luckiest place in Ireland.
Unfortunately, I'm here since 1959.
59.
One of the oldest ladies and women in town now.
And you're very involved in both the shop and the kitchen. And it talked about the fishing side of things. It's huge in the village.
Well, I had to start doing fishing tackle when my late husband died. We had a grocery hardware, general shop really, where you sold everything, where you had to sell everything. There wasn't supermarkets or Tesco's or any of those places. Mm. There wasn't many cars, I suppose, in the place either. So everyone had big families. So they're the types of businesses we had. So he used to do a good bit of electrical and start doing televisions. And when he died, I had to think of something else to replace it. So I started selling fishing tackle.
Yeah.
And yeah, loved every bit of it and loved the fishing because everyone that came fishing, they were in a happy place. They were so happy to be here, out the lake where all your troubles vanished.
And I was talking to a man this morning. He said he's your adopted son, Tom Swanky of the Vintners.
Tom from Cork, yeah.
Talk to me about him.
Tom will talk for himself. He has a pub down there. There was a lot of people that I met in the fishing. There was Seamus Mallon, rest his soul, came. Liam Neeson had a good, with John May, was his guide, a renowned fisherman. Derek Davis was in.
And do you still give bed and board to all those fishermen? No.
I just sold fishing tackle.
Okay.
I didn't do the bed and board, no. John Rocker, is that what we
said? Yeah.
John Rocker was a regular. Yeah, he still comes. He was still now. He wasn't here for a few years.
You must be looking after them if they're calling you adopted.
Yeah, Dick Warner was another one. Yeah, looked after them well, yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Still do.
There's a lovely community spirit, though, man, isn't there?
Absolutely, absolutely. 2 minutes.
Yeah, go on.
Now, when my husband passed away in 1975, I had a young family at the time. That's when I decided to get into fishing. But the terrible grief of losing somebody is one thing. But the community I had around me was unreal.
Yeah.
They just supported me. Just not the community. It's Tuhishoyuk now, the parish of Ross. I knew they were there for me. They supported me in the shop from Clonbore, Clockbrack, Finney, Cornamona, Ma'am, everywhere that I can think of, really. So that is why I respect. There is nothing like a community.
And briefly to Adrian, John Daly, why is his poster up?
Yeah, John Daly, his dad grew up in this house as well. And so he plays for Galway, obviously. And my cousin, my niece plays for Clonbore and Galway. So we have two connections to the
brilliant
county.
Adrian Birch and Anne Kine, thank you for joining us in Community Matters. That's where we make our leave from this morning's programme. And it's been a great programme as well. And thanks for everyone who got involved to make it such. Thanks indeed to Tomás Burke for letting us in and let us squat in here during the weekend today as well, and for all the hospitality, the lovely stove and a fire there as well. So thanks to all the Burkes for all they've done, all the help I got from Tomás in doing this programme, and also to Piers Doherty as well. He was a great help on it. Thanks to Sean O'Milkieran, who was my social media manager on the day and bodyguard and everything else that goes with it. Thanks to Donal O'Sullivan, our engineer, and the crew in the local internet services for boosting it for us as well. That's where we make our leave for the programme today. Ronan Lardo's up next to the live wire. Until Monday morning, we'll talk to you here on Galway FM.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.